And I want to bring you a message this morning, if it's the help of the Lord, in Psalms 133. Lord, I'm so filled up, I don't know if I can do it or not this morning. I'm glad I ain't the one that does the preaching. I'm glad it's Him. Amen. Y'all pray real hard this morning. Psalms 133 is where we're going to be in the reading of God's Word. And if you would, let's stand in reverence to His Word today. And I'll try to read this to you. Behold, how good. Boy, I can stop right there. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing. If we get anything today, it'll be because the Lord commanded it.
Amen.
Even life forevermore. Brother Bo, would you ask the blessing today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, amen, amen. Boy, I just got to look at that again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
How many churches are they in Tennessee? One church.
Amen.
How many churches are they in other 49 states? One church. How many churches are they around the world? One church. I'm glad that Jesus came and died for the whole world. He didn't come to die just for the residents of Tennessee or Virginia. He didn't come to die just for Vickers Chapel, but He came to die for all men and women, boys and girls around the world. He came to die for the black man. He came to die for the white man, the red man, whatever color he was. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. I'm glad that I'm a whosoever this morning. You need to be a whosoever. You are this morning. If you're here lost without God, I've got good news for you. He's standing at the right hand of the Father making intercession, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You can have rest this morning. We living in troubled times, terrible times, but I'm telling you what, it was terrible times in Jesus' times. They were living in sin and giving in sin and doing all these things in sin just like they are right now. But we've never seen such a fulfilling of God's holy word as this generation that we live in. I'm telling you, I've looked through the Bible. I've read the Bible. I don't know it from cover to cover, but I've read it. And let me tell you this morning, the only thing I can find in this scripture that hasn't happened that I have found out is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that ain't been fulfilled. But everything else has been fulfilled in this Bible. If you're waiting on something, you better look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. That's what the Bible says. You better get ready. You better get packed up. We're fixing to go up. Amen. He's fixing to call us up out of this old world. I hope you're ready this morning. Here we see in Psalms, this is a beautiful song, Psalms of the Brethren, talking about unity and bringing God's people together. And he talks about things in this scripture right here, where he talks about the anointing running down up even upon Aaron's beard. You can see over in Leviticus chapter 8 in verse 12 there, when Moses went and anointed Aaron and his sons, and he anointed them and sacrificed there for God and put his hands upon them and poured the oil, and it ran down even through his beard. That's what the scripture is talking about here, how precious that was. There's something about laying hands on the men of God and praying over them that God's blessings would be upon them. And I'm going to give a little bit of shout out this morning what God done and visited with us Wednesday night. We had a deacon's meeting here at the church, and the brethren got together, and Brother John has had some sickness in his life, had some cancer cut out of his body, and got a little bit of a bad report when he went back to the doctor. But he called me and he said, "Brother, I want to do what James chapter 5 says. It's call upon the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, and it's the prayer of faith, amen, that'll heal the sick." And you know what me and the deacons done? We got together Wednesday night, and we took his oil, we got the brother in the chair, and all of us took the oil, and we laid hands upon him and anointed him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe not because of the oil and not because of me. I believe it's the prayer of faith, amen, that'll heal our brother. Can I say this morning, you don't need to be scared of this. Let me say that. You don't need to be scared of this. If you're saved and born again and then you get sick, I'd call on the elders of the church. I'd do what the Bible said and let them anoint you. And it's the prayer of faith. I'm glad that people's had faith at time and prayed for me. When I was so sick, I couldn't hold my head up. People come by and lay their hands on me and pray over me, and the elders would anoint me in oil, and I would recover from the sickness, amen. That's what God said to do. And we need to follow God's word, amen. We need to have unity amongst the brother. But he was talking about the anointing here. There's times that God blesses here at the church, and the Bible talks about the cups running over. My cup runs over sometimes. I get a little loud when my cup starts running over. I don't know about you. And I said, maybe God touches you and the tears run up out of your eyes and run over. Sometimes you throw a hand in the air. Sometimes you got to stand up and say, "Praise the Lord." Maybe some of you got to shout sometime. Maybe some of you got to run sometime. If somebody runs in this church, I'm going to be right on your heels. Amen. Running right behind you. When I get excited for the Lord, it makes me want to run. I don't know why, but I like to run. I was over in Beulah Dean, North Carolina one time. God got on me there. And I run plumb out the church and started to run up the road. When I get the Lord on me, I don't know what I'm going to do. It makes me crazy sometimes for him, amen. Amen. Why, you act like a wild man. You get a hold of it, you'll act wild too. Amen. Amen. You mean if I don't act that way, I ain't got the Lord in my life? I did not say that. Everybody worships different. Everybody does different. This is just the way I act, amen. You just have to be happy with it. I praise the Lord for the unity of the brethren. I want to preach a message today entitled, Spiritual Preparation for Revival. Church, we need spiritual preparation today. We're getting ready to go into a two-day revival that I hope maybe runs into 2 weeks. We don't know what God will do. But I want whatever God wants. If he just wants two nights, that's what I want, two nights. I want it to be the best two nights I've ever had in my life. You don't want to miss it. You want to be here for this spiritual awakening in your life. But I got to thinking about there in that third verse where it says, as the dew of Hermon. I had to really do some research on that, and I got to looking at that, and Mount Hermon is the highest peak, if you'll look at it in Bible history. It's the highest peak of the land of Palestine there, and it stays snow-capped on that mountain. And down there in the valley where it talks about the mountains of Zion, when the land would get real parched, what they could look forward to, was the dew off of that mountain would settle down through the valley and would wet everything down and give them a cool breeze. No matter how hot it get, God would always blow a breeze through there. It don't matter how bad things get in your life, God will blow a breeze through, amen, from the Mount of Zion for you and I. Ain't nothing changed. He's still doing what he's always done. And he will always do that in your life. If you'll put him first in your life, he'll never hold back nothing for you. You know, God's blessed me when I ain't even been in his will at times. He loves me that good. Some people are trying to figure out how to get the good to outweigh the bad. I'm telling you, you'll never do enough for that to ever work out. Because you can't do enough. He loves me unconditionally. But because I know he loves me unconditionally, makes me want to live for him. Amen. Makes me come out from among the world. Makes me want to be at peace with my brothers and my sisters. And I'll tell you what, I love being here this morning. I couldn't wait. I woke up at 5:30 this morning. I about leaped out of the bed. I thought, man, it's Sunday morning. I can't wait to get to church. I love being in the house of the Lord. I love to see what's going on. I like to see God moving in people's lives. Over in Psalms 23, verse 5, he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." It doesn't matter what people's got to say or what they think about you. You get in the presence of the Lord, he'll make them all be at peace with you. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had anybody be against you? Have you ever had anybody didn't like you? Maybe even say they hated you. I'm glad that the Lord can make them be at peace with you. How does that happen, Pastor? You walk with God. If you walk with him, he'll make your enemies be at peace with you. That's the truth this morning. If you got a problem going on in your life with somebody, you don't know what in the world you're going to do, you can't fix the problem, you've done everything. Well, you just honor the Lord, you give it to the Lord, you surrender it to the Lord, and the Lord will take care of that for you. Really? It really works that way? It really does work that way. I know it's not popular this day and time, but it really does work that way. You can mark Psalms 23, verse 5, because that's for the truth right there. He will make your enemies be at peace with you. So number one, we need to know we need to have unity as God's people. The unity is the state of being as one, united as a whole. This church, I'm glad to report, is united. If there's anybody here that ain't united, I don't know about it, but I know one that does know about it. If you're harboring any feelings, if you're mad at somebody, if you're trying to stir something up, I promise you God knows all about it. Amen. He's keeping a record. Yep. Amen. Amen. But we need to be at unity with one another. I'm going to step out on a limb here, what the Lord just told me to say. If you got an ought against your brother, you're to go to him and Facebook. No. You go to him and him alone. And you try to work that thing out. This day and time, I won't go to nobody alone. I'll take somebody with me so I can have a witness. And you be good to do that yourself. But you go to them and you try to make it right. And you try to work it out. And if it won't work it out, then you take somebody with you. And you approach them. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And you still try to win them. And then if they won't hear you and them, then you take them to the church. I've never seen that happen. Not one time have I ever seen that happen. Because people are so bullheaded and disrespect the church so much, this is the last place they're going to come. But you bring them to the church, and if they won't hear that, then you know what you do? Shake the dust from your feet. Turn them over to God. Say, "Lord, there they are. I'm done with it." And the Lord said, "I'll take it from here." And when that happens, you got to stand back and let God have his way. Terrible things can happen. You mean a God that we serve like is a loving God the way He is? He would rain wrath down upon people that would do such a thing? You better believe it. I'll tell you even this. Be careful what you say about a man of God. You're walking on dangerous ground. Now, you may not agree with everything the man of God does, but if he's trying to do the will of God, pray for him, support him, and try to be happy about what's going on. Amen? Amen. Yeah. The Bible talks about we need to have unity as the children of God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, listen to this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What does that mean? Verse 4 explains it. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Does that not answer it? He is above us all. He knows what's going on. He declares and demands that His children be at unity among one another. If we're going to have a good revival, if we're going to see our friends, our family that we've invited and we're going to bring tomorrow night, if we're going to see them saved, it'll only come through unity. Unity. Church, as a body, we need to be a whole today. God has placed me here. He's the shepherd. I'm the under-shepherd. He's putting me as the head here. And some of you may be other parts of the body. You know, one of you might be an arm. One of you might be an elbow. You know, one of you might be a leg, one a foot. Whatever you are, be all you can for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can have perfect unity in the body. We need to work together in love and unity. There's only so many things that can be done in a church. There's so many things that can happen in a church. But whatever's going on, I'd get involved if I was just a little bitty tiny part of it. Everybody can't be on the platform. Everybody can't be back in the back. Everybody can't take an offering up. Everybody can't sing a song. Everybody can't do everything that's going on. But whatever you do, you can pray and exhort the Lord and be happy with what's going on. And let us have unity in the house of God. Amen. If we're going to have spiritual preparation in our life, we're going to have to strip ourselves down and look at ourselves spiritually and say, what can I do to help bring unity at Vickers Chapel? Something I'll tell you that we need. Tomorrow night, I need to see every one of these seats full up here in this choir. That whole back row, there's about, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 14 or 15 seats. That'd be wonderful with 15 men right there on the back. And the rest of these, we don't have no problem with our ladies. Our ladies will fill our choir up. But I can't get any men hardly to fill this back up. Can I get a witness? Amen. This is having unity to help support the song leader that is working himself to death trying to pull this thing together and can't get no help. I'll call him by name if I have to. I'm talking about unity, spiritual preparation, how to build on what God is doing in the house of the Lord. Well, I'm not much of a singer. I can't carry a tune. I can't do this. As long as you live on I can't, you'll never do nothing. The Bible doesn't say I can't do all things through Christ. It says I can do all things through Christ, whom strengtheneth me. Everybody say amen at one time.
Amen.
See, you got a voice. If you got a voice, you can sing. Oh, you've not heard me sing. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with thanksgiving and in singing. So you got a voice, you can lift it up for the Lord. We need to fill this thing up tomorrow night and Tuesday night. The choir's going to sing both nights. I need you up here singing both nights. We're having choir practice today. If you ain't never been in the choir, ain't never tried, guess what? It's your opportunity to bring this thing together. We've been waiting on you all this time. All this time, it's been all about you, waiting on you. I'm talking about how to have spiritual preparation for revival and bringing unity before the church. Philippians 1:27, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Striving together for the gospel. I was so pleased for the report that I got yesterday. And you've seen the pictures on the board about our yard sale, our youth yard sale. What are we trying to do? Are we trying to sell cookies, or what are we trying to do? We're trying to show this youth that we love them. The youth is trying to earn their way to get to camp and do other things. And I think they ought to do that. I think they need to know what the value of a dollar is. But they ought to realize that we love them, and we're going to do all we can to support them. Unity. That's what I saw went on yesterday. People sacrificed their Saturday to come and bring stuff and work a little while, and people came and went all day long. I wasn't able to be there, but I got the reports and heard the good news and heard all of what was done. They raised almost $700 and done real good. I thought it was wonderful. We ought to give the Lord a hand for that, amen? That's what God can do. Malachi 3:16, the Bible says, "Then they that fear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord hearkeneth and hear it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and the thought and they thought upon his name." There's a book of remembrance for everything. You know, one day we're all going to stand before the Lord. We're going to give an account of the deeds that's been done in the body. It ain't going to be, those that are saved, it's not a judgment whether we're going to make it in or not. That's been told too. That's not what's going to happen. We're going to answer for the deeds that's been done in the body. And I want to be able to stand before the Lord and say, "Lord, I did everything I could to try to unite the church. Lord, I wasn't the pastor, but I tried to be supportive. Lord, I wasn't the song leader, but I tried to be supportive. When my pastor asked me to sing in the choir, Lord, I tried to sing in the choir. You know how bad it was, but I was there, Lord." You know what the Lord will do? I believe he'll look at you and say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." He won't say, "Brother Aaron, because you didn't hit D flat just right now, I'm going to have to judge you on that." But because you made the effort to exhort him and to bring the unity of his people together, God is blessing that. God will bless that, and he'll bless you for that sacrifice. If you'll do that for him. I'm talking about unity. Number two, we need to talk about prayer. If we're going to be united as a church, we need to have prayer. We need to pray for one. Is that how this service started today? Is that not what we've been talking about all day? Is praying for one another? Being here for one another? Also, you know, the Lord has given us two wonderful preachers that are in this church right now. And Brother Terry and Brother Greg. Brother Greg is under the weather today, and you need to pray for Brother Greg. He would be right here exhorting this service if he was able. Sometimes we get sick in the body and those things happen. Appreciate Brother Terry being here. These are men that love God. We need to support the men that love God, that preach the Word of God. We need to stand behind them. And because they are going to give an account one day before the Lord for our souls. I'm going to give account for every message I've ever preached, every word I've ever exhorted for the Lord. I'm going to stand one day in judgment and look him face to face and give an account for every single bit of it. A lot of times you may think, "Man, I wish this message would get over. I would like to get to the restaurant. I'd like to do this." But I'm telling you, I'm talking about kingdom work where God has put us. We've got to preach the word and be instant in season and out of it. Amen. And that's when you're home alone praying, or you're with your family, you're eating your supper and things are going great for you. Most of the time these men of God are at the hospitals. They're on their knees. They're in their prayer closets. We're seeking God on your behalf, trying to ask God, "What do they need, Lord? Speak to me." And then God give us a message like this and tell us to bring it to you and encourage you this morning and tell you, you need to pray for unity in your life. God, unite me. Unite me Lord, that I may be with my brothers and sisters. You know, over in 2 Chronicles, he talked about if my people, remember that verse? He's talking about you all, talking about me. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Here's where we're all at, the next part. And turn from their what? He didn't say awesome ways. Wicked. At our best, we're wicked before God. Now, I know that we got up this morning and put our best suit on and our best cologne on and combed our hair and brushed our teeth, and we really felt good about ourselves. But our righteousness as filthy rags is what the Bible says. The best we can do is try to love one another and help unite this body and stand with this body. God is doing great things here at Vickers. You ought to get involved some way, somehow. I don't care if it's to pack a chair up here and set it down for somebody to sit in, if it's to open the door for somebody, shake a hand and encourage somebody. If it's something as small as that, you ought to want to do it this morning. You ought to want to be where God is moving like this. Yep. You ever been in stagnated water? It's awful. Yeah. There's nothing worse than stagnant water. When water ain't moving, it gets this old nasty scum up on top of it. It starts stinking, drawing flies and gnats and everything in the world. That's just the way a church is. When it stops moving, stops exhorting the Lord, stops being united, stops working with the other, and all of a sudden it stops, then the devil creeps in. And the devil starts working. The devil starts moving. He starts dividing people. They start going against one another. Next thing you know, the church is closed. Statistically, it's being proven right now. And I'm going to tell y'all something. God didn't just die for the Americans. God died for the foreigners. Amen? Amen. God died for the Muslims. God died for the Buddhists. God died for them all. He loved every one of them. Now, he don't like their ways, and I don't neither. But they're welcome, anybody's welcome that's in sin. Anybody's welcome to come through that door and come in here and worship. I don't care what they look like, who they are, where they've been, or what they've done. If they'll come here and sit down and hear the Word of God, they're welcome in this house. But I can tell you one thing right now, as long as God has put me as a pastor in this church, they ain't no person going to stand behind this pulpit that ain't qualified to do it. They ain't going to be women preaching behind this pulpit. They ain't going to be gays standing behind this pulpit. They ain't going to be gays teaching Sunday school. As long as I've got my mind, we're going to follow this book, amen? Amen. That's what we're going to do. It's not popular this day and time. I believe we need to stick to the old gospel. We need to stand on that. Do you mean people like that are not welcome? You've missed the whole point. They're welcome in the house of God, but they're not going to hold positions. Anybody's welcome in the house of God. If you go by a church and they say, take the welcome sign off, not just everybody's not welcome, then I wouldn't go to that church. Everybody's welcome at the house of God. But I'm glad for God, the men that God has given us here. We keep order in this church. We try to make sure we follow the Word of God. We don't make up our own laws, our own rules. We try to follow what thus saith the Word of God. If we put something in the bylaws, we're following it word by word. It's exactly what God would have us to do. And that's how we do it in this church. If you wonder this morning what we stand for, we stand on the King James Version 1611. We don't go by the NIV or the She Version or anything else you want to go by. We go by the King James Version Bible. Amen. It stood all this time. It'll stand right on to the end of time. I'm glad it's inspired by the Word of God. I'm not so childish this morning to think that this thing wasn't put together by a natural man, but I'm glad it was given by inspiration of God. Amen. That's why it was given, and we need to stand on it. They can come up with every kind of version they want to come up with, but I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to follow the qualifications of the Word of God. And if my wife ever leaves me, divorces me, I'll step down as a pastor and take my seat. Amen? I'm talking about the Word of God. You want to bust the unity of a church? You want to see a church stop praying? Start using unqualified men in all these different positions? He will destroy a church. I'm telling you, it's not a popular thing this day of time anymore. They'll preach anything, do anything, believe anything, and let everything go. But I'm glad here at Vickers we've got a standard that we stand by. We try to back everything we stand for and what we believe by the Word of God. We try to be loving to the community and those that are in need. They're welcome to come here, and we'll look over the situation and try to help them according to what the Word of God says. But I'm telling you what, those that are looking for a handout just to get a handout and try to take from the people of God, I'm going to stand up and stand against it this morning. Why? Because we want to keep you from the people of God. I'm going to stand up and stand against it this morning. Why? Because we want to keep unity in the church. I'm talking about spiritual preparation, church. You ought to be glad this morning that you've got a pastor and you got deacons that'll stand up. When sin walks through the door, we know exactly what to do for it. And I'll tell you one thing. We can either bring it to the altar and it'll get right with God, or we'll send it down the road. One or the other. This day and time, too many things are let go. Too many things say, just come on in, have it any old way. We ain't going to hang a disco ball from the ceiling. We ain't turning the lights off. We ain't buying smoke machines. And we ain't doing all of that. We're going to honor God the best way we know how. Amen. Amen. I wished I'd have had the pictures to put up on the screens, but I saw two pictures the other day. They showed a contemporary service and an AC/DC concert, and they put them side by side. They looked like the same place going on. It looked like the same event going on. The lights were off, the smoke was moving, and the loud music and everything was going on. And you wonder why we can't be blessed. You wonder why we can't be united. If we live like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, and act like the world, we're the world. Amen. Why do they want to do anything any different? They'll look at us and go, well, I'm the same as he is. He's doing the same thing I'm doing. He's going to heaven. What I got to repent for? What I need Jesus for? I live the same way he does. I need to hear from you, church. Amen. I knew it'd get quiet around this part of the message. I love some contemporary music. They, some of it, I love it. It's good. It's got a great message to it. Hey, some of it makes me want to throw up. It's so much like the world that you can't even hear God in it. I like different kinds of music. I love music. I love music of all kinds. But I like music that honors God and brings Him glory. I want to feed my spirit the things that would honor God. I want to watch things, hear things, and speak things that will honor Him. Amen. You know why I do that? Because I want to be united with you all. I don't want to be out of fellowship with God and walk into here and try to have unity in this house and the spirit be bound. Why is it bound? Because I'm living like a devil through the week. It'll show up on you. I said it'll show up on you. It's getting hot in here this morning for some reason. I'm talking about prayer. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I send unto you what things soever ye desire. And when you pray, he said, believe. Pray that you receive them, and ye shall have them. James 5, he said, to confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed, because the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man, that's talking about women or men, a righteous man availeth much. Amen. There's something to say about when we walk with God in prayer. There's something to say about when we're united as the body of Christ. There's something to say about when we try to live clean before God. I've said it 100 times since I've been here. Wearing this suit don't make me a Christian. I said wearing a suit and wearing a tie don't make me a man of God. You can put on the best you've got and live like a devil and you'll be just as dirty as any demon in hell. But I'm telling you today, I dress like this because I want to dress like this. I want to honor God the best way I know how. I've talked to you before about way to dress. You dress the way you feel to dress. Honor God in the way you dress. Just come dressed, amen? That's all we ask. If you have to go to your husband and say, is this decent or not? He's probably going to look at you and say, no, it ain't. Or men, if you go to your wife and say, what's this look like? And she gives you that high eyebrow look, go take it off. or says, "Are you really going to wear that?" We'll go to the store sometimes, and Ravonda will be looking through clothes, and she'll get to one of those clothes that it's every color in the rainbow, and it's 60s and all this kind of stuff. And I tell her, I say, "That's the kind of stuff that gets you set outside the road right there." Y'all know what I mean. But it ain't about the way that you dress. It's about your heart and how you're living for God and honoring God and trying to live clean before Him. Start your day with prayer. Talk to Him. Live for Him. Honor Him. And He'll bless your life. And the church will be united for it. You ever notice when people are living in sin? You can tell it. People of God can tell it. You can't hide it. Your body tells on you. Your eyes will tell on you. If you're not right with God, it'll tell on you. I ain't got to figure it out. A lot of people come to me sometimes and say, "Who told you? What? Who's telling him that? How'd he know that about me?" All I can say is God told on you. That's all I know if you're living like that. We need to search our lives, church. We're about to have two of the greatest days I believe Vickers will ever have in its history up to this point, coming up Monday and Tuesday. And I would want to be spiritually right in every way that I could, that I may receive the total blessings of God. I need you to be right. I need you to live right. I need your witness in my life. I need to have peace of mind when I lay down at night, that I don't have to wet my pillow with tears, because I know that you're out of the will of God, that you're living in sin, and that God wants to bless your life, but because of the way you're living, you have bound the hands of God and the blessings of God. Even some of you I've talked to and said, "You're holding back the blessings of God. If you'll get right with God, if you'll surrender to God, He'll bless your life." And I've seen some of you all do that, and we've watched God bless your life. There's something to say about living right with God, that He'll bless your life. Did you know God will not bless an unclean temple? And you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. What you say and do has an effect on your relationship with the Lord. You just said He loves me unconditional. Absolutely, He loves you unconditional. But have you ever disappointed mommy or daddy? Did that not hurt their heart? Did that not put them in a solemn state of wondering, "What can I do to help my child?" God's no different. He loves you that same way. And we have hurt the heart of God. I have hurt the heart of God by not living that united life, that prayerful life, that life that will bring Him honor and glory. Let it start with me, church. Every day I have to say, "Lord, look over my life. Search me, Lord. Clean me from head to toe of all that I've been involved in. Help me bring You glory and honor. So that when I go to church, I can help the church. And whatever they need, I can be united with them and in prayer." We need to do that, church. The Lord, when He gave me this message, He told me to tell you, we need to have spiritual preparation in our life. You need to get some of this sin out of your life. You're a child of God. Don't let it ever be named among you that you went back doing things of the world. You need to do the things of God. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have moved out of the old life. You're in the new life. You've been saved for 40 years. You shouldn't be back in that life. But yet, there's the devil. You know what we do? We won't even ignore him. We're like, "What? What'd you say? What do you want?" And we'll go over and find out what he wants. And the next thing you know, we're in the awfulest mess in the world. Why? Because what the Bible says, we're drawn away of our own lust and the pride of life. We're drawn away with it. And the Lord is saying, if we're going to have a good revival, we need to be united as a church. There's not a person in this building, and I can honestly say this, that I wouldn't have enough confidence in to call you today and say, pray for me. And I know you'd pray for me. I know you'd get a hold of the Lord for me. And I'd want you to feel the same way. But if I'm living in sin, you may not have that kind of confidence. You may say, I don't know if I'll call him or not. Have you searched your life lately? Have you thought about where you're at with the Lord right now? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to do any of that. But the Lord said we need spiritual preparation. I couldn't get away from it. Every time I'd go to my study, every time I'd get down to pray, he'd give me this chapter, and it starts off wonderful, talking about the dews of Harim there, and I thought about the blessings of the Lord coming down. I thought about the anointing coming down. But then I also thought about, that can't happen if I'm living in sin. Right. I'm missing out on the blessings of God because I'm not dwelling amongst the mountains of Zion that God can overflow me with his blessings. So today I wonder, would you have enough concern about your life and this revival that's about to happen that you would spiritually search your life over right now and say, Lord, if there's anything in my life, could you help me right now? Could you help my mind? Help me, Lord, to get this out of my... I'm talking about spiritual preparation this morning for his people, about being united. Put out all the hurt, all the disappointment. I'm talking about leaving it all behind and saying, yes, Lord, it's me. And lastly, I'm done. Maybe you're here this morning, you're lost without God. You need spiritual preparation more than anybody. You're in sin. But I got good news. You don't have to stay in sin. Messages like this is for God's people. It helps us to realize what we're about to go into. We're about to head in to a place with God that we haven't been in a while. I'm talking about when they was talking in the scriptures about the temple when they... We're talking about the holies of the holy. We're talking about where God dwells. He's dwelling right here. Have you been there lately and let God move in your life? Have you? Can we get really real this morning? I'm nobody, but you got a pastor that ain't going to let just anything go. I'm going to try to run this house the way God sent me here to run it. That's to honor him. And to make sure that everything that takes place brings honor to him. But I'm here to help you. He sent me here to help you. I'm not here to beat you. I'm not here to put you down. I'm here to pick you up. I'm here to unite this body of believers is what I'm here to do. And I want to try to help you this morning. As we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.